this mood that you're describing, this calling out, needing mercy, is very much relevant to this part of the Bhagavatam, because it's so closely nearing the time when Maharaj Prickett is going to leave this world. So he's hearing some philosophy now that he's not his body, that he's an eternal soul, but at the time of leaving this world, what will he hold on to? So what will he hold on to? What will fill his consciousness? You can't fill your consciousness with "I'm not my body," because it's negative. One can't hold on to something negative. But Srila Sukadeva Goswami is speaking these points, so for us, of course, but so that at the last moment he won't hold on to anything connected to the body. Because that tendency is so strong. The identification with the soul through the mind, through the material attachments, with the body, with everything connected to the body, is so strong. So these strong words spoken by Sukadeva are to break that attachment, that tendency, because it is dangerous. It is dangerous all the time, but it is especially dangerous when one is leaving this world, dying. But that doesn't solve the question or answer the question, what will he hold on to? Again, you can't hold on to "I'm not my body, I'm not my body," because it's what you're not. But what will he hold on to? That will be revealed. Now, being in a somewhat radical mood, what I would like to do is read a few verses, not just one, and then we'll hear the answer to that question. So Srila Sukadeva is speaking, and he's given some examples yesterday. He was saying that you can know that point. He was giving points or examples that show that we're not the body. And then in today's verse, when the fire is there, another example: when a pot is broken, the portion of sky within the pot remains as the element sky, just as before. In the same way, when the gross and subtle body die, the living entity within resumes his spiritual identity. It doesn't cease to exist. Text 6. The material bodies, qualities, and activities of the spirit soul are created by the material mind. That mind is itself created by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, and thus the soul assumes material existence based on the mind, the mind's attachments, and therefore, as Kapila Muni describes in the third canto, Bhakti Yoga dissolves the subtle body, the mind. He continues, still on this point, you are not the body. You will exist. You will have a life after the destruction of the body, the inevitable destruction of the body. Where will you go? That depends upon what you hold on to. Sadatan Bhava Bharata. A lamp functions as such only by the combination of its fuel, the vessel, the wick, and the fire. Four elements. Similarly, material life, based on the soul's identification with the body, is developed and destroyed by the workings of material goodness, passion, and ignorance, which are the constituent elements of the body, but not the soul. The soul within the body is self-luminous. It has its own light. It doesn't depend on these other elements. And it is separate from the visible body and the invisible, subtle body. We are not our... This is not me, nor all the crazy thoughts that go through my mind continuously. They are not me either. It remains, the soul remains as the fixed basis of changing bodily existence. Just as the ethereal sky is the unchanging background of material transformation. Therefore, the soul is endless and without any material comparison. My dear King, by constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, and by applying clear and logical intelligence, you should carefully consider your true self and how it is situated within the material body. The snake bird, Takshaka, sent by the curse of the Brahmana, will not burn your true self. The agents of death will never burn such a master of the self as you. For you have already conquered all dangers on your path back to Godhead. You should consider, I am none different from the Absolute Truth, Supreme Abode. And that Absolute Truth, this is text 12, that Absolute Truth, the Supreme Destination, is none different from me. This is where I belong. This is where you belong, he's saying. Because of your spiritual nature, you're incompatible with this material world. You're compatible with the spiritual, eternal realm. Thus, resigning yourself to the Supreme Soul, giving yourself Saranagati, Mamekam Saranam Vaja, resigning yourself to the Supreme Soul, who is free from all material misidentification and tinged by Maya, you will not even notice the snake bird Takshaka when he approaches you with his poison-filled fangs and bites your foot. Nor will you see your dying body or the material world around you, because you will have realized yourself to be separate from them. Then he says, and this is the final verse in this chapter, beloved King Purjit, I have narrated to you the topics you originally inquired about, the pastimes of Lord Hari in the first canto, 18th, 19th chapter. Maharaj Purjit said, please pour within my ear the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Hari. And the whole Bhagavatam is spoken in this regard. And then he says, I have narrated to you the topics which you originally inquired about, the pastimes of Lord Hari, the Supreme Soul of the universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? So the teacher, after having spoken in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, and now the 12th canto, all the necessary topics about Krishna, and filled his ear. The way to the heart is through the ear, by hearing. So he's filled his heart with Krishna Katha, Hari Katha. And he was the perfect receptacle for that katha. Because this was his desire. I want to hear about Krishna so much. Everything is based on desire. There's a short purport here. There were no purports to the other verses. In this commentary on this text, the one where he's saying, I've spoken about Hari. Now, what more do you want to hear about? The teacher is asking, is there anything else Is there anything else? Would you like to hear something else? In his commentary on this text, Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately demonstrated by citing many Bhagavatam verses the exalted devotional position of King Parikshit, who is fully determined to fix his mind upon Lord Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. Because this is required. If we are half determined, if we are bahushaka tonantascha, this is generally the problem. We have divided minds. Yes, I want to be with Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. I want to go to Golok. But not only that, I also want this and this and this and this and this. But at the end of our life, the crucial question is, what do we want? Because what we do want is where we're going to go. So Maharaj Parikshit only wanted one thing. He had no divided mind. He was fixed. Vya vya sadmika buddhi. And his fixedness was on the lotus feet of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna. He was determined. I don't want anything else. I don't want it. I was the king. I had full access to everything. Power, wealth, everything was at my disposal. I don't want anything of this world. Fixed and determined. I only want to fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. He wanted to go to Krishna. Now we begin the sixth chapter. So the question that ended the fifth chapter is, would you like to hear anything else? He had completed, but would you like to hear something else? So in the first verse, Sutta Goswami said, after hearing all that was narrated to him by the self-realized and equipoised Sukadev, the son of Vyasadev, Maharaj Parikshit humbly approached his lotus feet, bowing his head upon the sage's feet, the king, who had lived his entire life under the protection of Lord Vishnu, folded his hands in supplication and spoke to his father. How do you speak to someone who has given you everything and given you the ticket and the visa to go to serve Krishna forever? What do you say? There's a short purport to this verse. According to Srila Vishnu Bhagavad Gita, some of the sages present while Sukadeva was instructing King Parikshit were impersonalists, philosophers. Thus the word Samena indicates that in the previous chapter, Sukadeva Goswami had spoken the philosophy of self-realization in a way pleasing to such intellectual yogis, those on the path of Jnanamarga. So they were very happy to hear, you're not your body, you're not your body, you're not your body. But what did what did Maharaj Parikshit hear? They were happy because that's what they wanted. Because their interest was liberation. But the same words were spoken. What was Sukadev's conclusion? Maharaj Parikshit's conclusion after hearing that as well. So he folded his hands in supplication. What does supplication mean? Very humble and submissiveness. Folded his hands and began to speak. Maharaj Parikshit said, I have now achieved the purpose of my life. Because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. What was the kindness? Filling his consciousness with Harikatha, which enlarged and invigorated his already burning desire to be with Krishna from the very birth. As described early in the first canto, from his very birth he was Vishnu, he was protected by the Lord, and his name is Parikshit Pritchett. What does Pritchett mean? What is the word in Hindi for examination? Yes. He was examining everyone he met. Is this that person who has come to me? Because he was well in the womb and protected me. He was always looking for Krishna. This is the process of advancement. And this is the process of getting Krishna's mercy. The desire is there. This is what I want. And I'm only looking for him. Not looking. Not janam na janam na sundarim. Kavitam vam jagadisa tamani. Not even liberation. I want that person. I want to be with him. I want to serve him. I have now achieved the purpose of my life because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is without beginning or end. So what did he hear? Not jnana, not liberation, not merging. He heard Harikatha, and that is what he wanted. No purport. Text 3. I do not consider it at all amazing that great souls such as yourself, whose minds are always absorbed in the infallible personality of Godhead, show mercy to the foolish conditioned souls, tormented as we are by the problems of material life. I have heard from you, text 4, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of all the Puranas and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord through Tamashloka. That is what he had heard. Perfectly described the Supreme Lord, who is praised by glorious verses. He had heard about Krishna and so many avatars. How Krishna kindly comes to this world. He's heard about the creation by Krishna's parts and pulses. He had heard about Krishna being born in Mathura, being transferred across the Jamuna to Gokul Mahavan. He had heard of Krishna's pastimes with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. He had heard about Krishna's going out and tending the cows and calves, or the calves and the cows, and killing so many demons. He had heard about Krishna's killing Putana and Trinavarta and Shakatashura and Bakasura, Vatsasura, Agasura. He had heard how Brahma had come and stolen the calves, and then and the boys, and then Brahma had come to pray to him. He had heard about Dhanukasura and Balaram's activities and Prahlambasura and forest fires, and he had heard about Krishna dancing with the gopis in the middle of the night. He had heard about the gopis' feelings of separation, of Krishna's coming to Kamsa, Krishna's going marrying 16,000. He had heard everything. And he had heard Krishna's explanation in the 11th canto that all paths, they all culminate with devotional, loving service to Krishna. And how the Bhagavatam was filled with these narrations. And his consciousness, hearing the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva, who had heard it and realized it from his father Vyasadeva, had filled his consciousness, and he had heard these perfect descriptions of Lord Tamashloka. And he says in the 5th verse, my Lord, I now have no fear of Takshaka or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. His consciousness was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. consciousness of Krishna, consciousness of his relationship with Krishna, and immediately no fear. No misidentification with the cause of fear or the cause of anxiety, but full identification with himself as being Krishna's. I am Krishna. Eternally. Now, question, he hasn't answered the question yet. The question that Sukadeva asked him was, do you want to hear any more? Do you need more medicine? Or are you ready now? And his answer there was, I'm ready to go. Oh Brahma, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses into Lord Bhuktija. Allow me to absorb my mind, purified of all lusty desires within him, and to thus give up my life. Sukadeva Goswami had asked King Parikit, what more do you wish to hear? Now the king replies that he has perfectly understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and that he's ready, without further discussion, to go back home, back to India, to withdraw his consciousness fully from the realm of matter and to focus it fully, purified of all lusty desires, all desires, not of all desires, but all desires related with him in the center. All petty selfishness, all come of any level based on me, but desiring so strongly to fix his consciousness in the service of Krishna. That he's ready, without further discussion, to go back home, back to Gautama. And the last thing that he says is, you have revealed to me that which is most auspicious. Please note that when Prabhupada was coming to the West, he wasn't feeling comfortable until he had three volumes of the most auspiciousness to give us. Take this. He wanted to distribute this message, this Hari Gita, this instruction that made Maharaj Parikit fearless and ready to go home and filled with unlimited desire to serve Krishna, and that had eradicated all desire on the material level. And it was the Bhagavatam. That's what Prabhupada was carrying. And therefore he stressed book writing, book production, book distribution, and one other thing. And what is the other thing?
Reading.
Reading it also. In Melbourne one time, I'm not sure if it was here or in the previous temple. I heard him. I think it was in his house. He said, my only criticism of the devotees is they think that the books of the distribution are not for reading. And then he even imitated a devotee distributing a book and saying, please take this book. And he imitated the person's response. What's in it? And then he imitated the devotee. I don't know, it's for you. And he didn't say it in that way. But the point is clear. And then he said, why are we so interested in book distribution? Because it is distribution of knowledge. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. And this material world means darkness. Andhakar. And this is the light. And in the light we can see things accurately as they are. And in darkness We can't see anything, practically speaking. We mistake everything for something else. So the Bhagavatam gives us the perspective on life. True, accurate perspective. So take it. Take it. Raise your hand if you have a set of Bhagavatams in your home. Oh, so wonderful. How wonderful. Prabhupada must be so pleased with you all. Must be. At one point, even, and I've read this in Korma Prabhu's book about Prabhupada in Australia, because there were so many devotees coming and joining, and then after a short time they would go away again. You know, they joined for a while and didn't fulfill whatever they were imagining was going to happen, or it was too hard or whatever, and they left. And Prabhupada, after a while, he said, as I read, that let them stay at home and read Prabhupada's book, read the books, study them, and actually understand things deeply, and then come and join, and then be fixed. Because without the knowledge, without knowledge, there won't be fixedness. I'm here for a purpose. And it may be hard, it may be easy. Well, that's life. But I'm here for a purpose. And I'm convinced. I have conviction. And I don't want anything else. I don't want to touch and play with, be allured by the world of illusion. So therefore, fix. So the last thing he says, you have revealed to me. This is, we heard Sukadeva Goswami's last words, and now we'll hear Maharaj Prickett's last words. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious. It is most auspicious. That means it brings us the greatest benefit. What is the greatest benefit? We should ask ourselves this question. What do I think is the greatest benefit? What will benefit me the most? Well, see, the Prabhupada was very clear about that, as was Sukadeva Goswami, and as was Maharaj Prickett, and as the Guru Paramparas, and as so many devotees are since time immemorial and even to this present, that the purpose of life is to develop one's love for Krishna. Prema, Pumato, Mahana. Develop our relationship with Krishna. So he says, I am now fixed in knowledge. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, most beneficial. The supreme personal feature of the Lord, that have a personal relationship with Krishna. Bhagavata darshitam has been shown. It is chaimam, all auspicious. Param Bhagavata Padam, the Supreme Personality of God. You have revealed to me Krishna. You have revealed to me the very purpose of an eternal soul's existence. And I have taken it. And I have understood. And I'm ready to go. I am now fixed in knowledge. Self-realization. And my ignorance has been eradicated.